Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week was born in Austin, Texas, grew up in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. She earned a BA in English from Brigham Young University. From 2015 to 17, she was chair of the Michigan Republican Party. And from 2017 to 2024, she was chair of the Republican National Committee, thereby becoming the second woman to ever hold this prestigious position. Tall cotton. Since 2025, she's been the CEO of Michigan Forward Network. Her name, Ronna Romney McDaniel. And we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Ronna Romney McDaniel. She's the CEO of Michigan Forward Network. Ronna, welcome. A real honor to have you.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. This is my first time ever with you.
All right. Romney, the name.
Right.
In Massachusetts, we have the Kennedys. In Texas, we have the Bushes. But in Michigan, it's the Romneys. Let's begin with your grandfather first, George Romney, please.
He was such a huge influence in my life, and it had nothing to do with his political career. I didn't even know he had been governor of Michigan until I went on a field trip to the Capitol in elementary school, and I thought, hey, that's my grandpa hanging up there, and I was so excited. But he was an influence because he had us over every Sunday night for dinner. Mm-hmm. He loved our family. He lived right next door to me. At one stage of all of our lives, every grandchild, he took us on a trip across the United States of America in a van for a month to show us the greatness of this country and how blessed we are. And I'll never forget that trip. Every grandchild had that same trip. Just a really special person.
He was president of American Motors on Plymouth Avenue, and he was the third secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Now, your grandmother,
right,
Lenore,
right,
ran for Senate.
Yes, she was the first woman to receive the Republican nomination for Senate in Michigan in the 70s. And at one point, I was interviewing her for something I was doing political, and I asked her, what was that like? And she said it was so different for women then. And she remembered her opponent at the first debate bringing her a dozen roses and handing them to her. And she said, I felt like he was kind of putting me in my place, and he would always refer to me as Mrs. Romney. And but she was a trailblazer, an excellent speaker. When I was a little girl, if I ever had to give a talk in church or anything, we had to go to her house and memorize it. We were not allowed to read anything. And she would make sure we could memorize the talk completely. And it was a lot of stress, but that was the type of grandmother she was.
Speaking of flowers for your grandmother, in the early 90s, I would go to Pontiac Market every Saturday morning, like at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. And I would see this very distinguished 85-year-old man would be buying flowers. It was your grandpa, George Romney, for your grandmother, Lenore.
He gave my grandmother a rose every day of their marriage. That was their tradition, whether it was a paper rose that he made or he drew or a real rose. And an interesting story, when I was put in as the RNC chair, I was staying in D.C. at the Omni Shoreham. And the owner of the hotel came to me and said, I remember your grandfather lived across the street when he worked in D.C. And he would come and cut our roses to give your grandmother a rose every day. But he did it so poorly, he was hurting the rose bushes. So we went and taught him the correct way to prune a rose so he could, or clip a rose so he could give it to your grandma. But that tradition was their whole life. And the day he died, she knew that he had passed because she didn't have a rose on her bed that morning.
One more story. This was in the early 90s. I had a business. We had an office in Dallas. There was like a 9 or 10 o'clock flight coming back. It was late. And there were only a couple people in the area. And one was your grandpa and grandmother. And your grandfather George went and found a couple of pillows somewhere and a little blanket to give to your grandmother.
Yeah.
He was a gentleman.
They were just an amazing love story. But more than anything, they were amazing grandparents. They read with us. They spent time with us. We went to church together. So when you think of life and all of his accomplishments, that's not what I remember. I remember the hugs from my grandpa, the ice cream that we made from scratch that wasn't that good, his rock hard Rice Krispie treats that he would make because he never quite figured out how to make it. But beyond that, just the love that he gave us, always writing handwritten notes for our birthdays, and just a huge influence in my life and all of my cousins and, of course, my dad's life as well.
All right. Speaking of ladies running for U.S. Senate,
right.
I believe in 1996, Ronna Stern Romney, your mom,
right.
ran for Senate.
Same name, Ronna.
What do you remember about that?
I worked on that campaign. So I was her driver. I was in college, and we drove all across the state of Michigan to every town. My mom is a firecracker, and it was tough. It was grueling, but we really enjoyed it. And more than anything, we're still close with all the staff. In fact, my mom went to dinner with two of the women who worked on that campaign a few weeks ago. So you really bond in those experiences.
Oh, okay. You had a lot of ice cream, you know, Kerwin's, Lay's.
Yes.
What was the best ice cream in the whole state of Michigan?
Remember? Oh, you know, I don't know. I love ice cream. So there's not a bad ice cream in my mind. But right now, my favorite ice cream is Guernsey because I live in Northville. So I'm going to have to go with Guernsey. But I don't know if I had it back then on the campaign trail.
Okay, your dad, Scott.
Yes.
Ran for Michigan Attorney General in 1998.
He did. He did, and I was working in Washington, D.C. at the time, and that's actually when I interviewed my grandma that I just talked about. So we helped do videos for his attorney general's race. He didn't win. I think Michigan would be much better if he'd have won, but he, again, hard worker, great speaker. But it just comes from my grandpa and just his love of this country and his belief that you have to get involved in any way. So sometimes you have to try and not win, but at least you're putting yourself out there.
All right. Speaking of getting involved, your uncle Mitt Romney
right.
has gotten involved. Tell us about Mitt Romney.
So Mitt ran for Senate in Massachusetts against Ted Kennedy. I remember my grandpa flew all of the grandchildren, nieces, nephews, sons and daughters, everybody to Boston to go campaign for Mitt. And we all wore sweatshirts that said Romney's for Mitt. And my family, my dad's family, we got assigned to a part of Massachusetts that was very for Ted Kennedy. It was called Dorchester. I'm going to say it with a Boston accent. And they did not like us. So my dad said, we're going to quit. So we went into a restaurant and ate lunch the rest of the day. And we were actually sitting next to John Kerry, the other senator. But Mitt was ended up being governor of Massachusetts and then obviously our nominee for president in 2012. I worked tirelessly on that campaign here in Michigan, and then most recently the senator from Utah.
We're talking to Ronna Romney McDaniel. In 2015, she became the chair of the Michigan Republican Party. She worked tirelessly. We'll talk about that chapter in her life when we come back. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Jack Rasula, this is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Ronna Romney McDaniel. From 2015 to 2017, she was the chair of the Michigan Republican Party. How and why?
So as I mentioned before, I worked on my Uncle Mitt's campaign tirelessly in 2012. And he really didn't come to Michigan once he received the nomination. And I thought Michigan was a winnable state presidentially. I believed it. I wanted to get involved. I was at the time national committee woman. I ran for state party chair. I won. And we had a presidential race coming up, and we hadn't won Michigan for 30 years. And I believed that we could change that. So I worked as hard as I could. The grassroots came in. We had a candidate who decided to put Michigan in play, and we ended up winning the presidential race for the first time in Michigan in 30 years for Donald Trump. And it was a very exciting time in our state to see us finally have candidates come to our state and campaign in Michigan. I don't know if people remember, before that, for almost 30 years, we didn't have candidates coming and viewing Michigan as a winnable state.
He came to Macomb County, and then he went to Grand Rapids, like the night before the election, if I recall.
We spent the night before the election, I got a call, and they said, we're coming to Michigan. We're going to add a Michigan stop. They were not planning to come to Michigan. And at that point, Hillary and Barack Obama and other Democrats were coming here, so they knew they're seeing something that we're seeing, that Michigan's suddenly in play. And it was the last stop of that election. I left that event. I probably didn't sleep for over 48 hours, and we won Michigan. It was a really exciting and thrilling and surprising time, because I don't think in Michigan people really thought it could go Republican, but he changed our electorate, and those Macomb Reagan Democrats became Trump Republicans.
All right. We're talking to Ronna Romney McDaniel. Ronna, what does the chair of a state political party do all day?
It's called raise money. A lot of it's raising money and talking to people. And I had some people, you know, shut the door on my face. And then we had some amazing people who believed that we could put Michigan in play, and raising money, organizing the grassroots, working with your county chairs, turning out volunteers and mobilizing them to go knock doors to turn out your vote. It's changed now with technology, but back then, the primary source of door knocking and engaging voters were volunteers. Now it's mostly paid walkers. But it was very, very exciting. Our staff did a great job, and our state was energized. And Trump came. He came to Detroit. He went to Flint. He went throughout the state, and that was different for us.
All right. We're talking to Ronna Romney McDaniel from 2015 to 2017. She was chair of the Michigan Republican Party. In those couple of years, that chapter of your life, what's the biggest thing you learned?
I learned so much. I think I learned not to get discouraged by the word no, and to believe in your gut, because I really felt like Michigan was winnable, but I kept hearing from people, no, we can't win. And you can change. You can change your destiny if you work hard enough and you have the right team around you. And that was a very valuable lesson for me, not taking no for an answer.
The famous Clark Durant once told me, Jack, the sale doesn't begin until you hear the word no.
That's true. It's true.
All right. Rick Snyder. What's one or two stories you've got about Rick Snyder?
Well, I spent a lot of time with Governor Snyder, and he was the governor when I took over as state party chair. He didn't love Trump at the time, so that was interesting. But I was with him during the Flint water crisis, which was just such a difficult time in our state. But he has a phrase called RPA, and I remember it all the time. It's called Relentless Positive Action. And he's always looking at every problem. I still talk to him. Through a lens of how do we put a positive spin on this? How do we talk positively about Michigan? And for me, as a governor, he gave us a rainy day fund. Jobs were coming back. He was an exceptional businessman who really understood how to put Michigan on the right track. He's the first governor that changed it. So we had to pass a budget in June rather than waiting till October to pass a budget. And that was good for our state. Of course, that's not happening right now, but he was the one who said we need to pass budgets earlier so we have surety going into the fall and into the school year.
You know, his mantra was the nerd.
Yeah.
He was a governor that wasn't a politician.
He wasn't. He loved being one tough nerd. He was a tech guy. But he was a really excellent person to work with, and I think he was a great governor for our state.
You know, we got to do things in dog years, et cetera, et cetera. I think he did a phenomenal job all in all.
He did. He really did. And if you look at the metrics, if you look at where our state was when he left, jobs were coming back, unemployment was low, we were seeing people staying in Michigan, you saw business investing in Michigan, and our education was getting better.
You know, he brought right to work.
Correct.
Right, which has now been reversed. He's got believers and he's got detractors. So, okay, let's go to January 19th, 2017, one day before Donald Trump became president.
Correct.
And you become, Ronna, chair of the Republican National Committee. It don't get any better than that, or worse than
or
that.
Or worse.
How did that ever happen?
I have no idea. To this day, it's still crazy. I got a call from Reince Priebus saying the president would like you to take over as head of the Republican National Committee because I'm going to go be chief of staff. And my answer was no. I had two young kids at home, and it was like 2 a.m. And I hung up, and I was surprised. I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't lobbying for it. And my husband turned to me, and he said, you have to do this. We can do anything as a team for 2 years. And so I called back, and then it was a long process. And then eventually the president in New York City said, I want you to be the chair, but keep it a secret. And then he went on stage and proceeded to tell everybody. But I ended up doing it for almost 8 years. So that first phrase of my husband, we can do anything for 2 years, went a little longer than we expected.
Well, you became only the second woman to chair the RNC in American history.
And the longest serving chair in history of either party. So it was a lot of work, but I loved it. I loved traveling the country and meeting people and lots of fundraising. We had the White House, then we didn't have the White House. It was a great opportunity, and President Trump tapped me to do that.
All right, when you were Republican Michigan National Chair, you just had to talk like a Michigander.
Right.
Now you got to talk like the South Side of Chicago, the Bears, the Pope. You mentioned the word Boston earlier.
Boston, yeah.
You know, Texas, y'all, etc. How did you learn the dialect of the town you were going to each day?
Well, I just loved seeing all the different cities and being in the communities. But yes, the South, it's how y'all doing? And you go to California, it's a little different. But we have such a great country with so many wonderful people engaged. And I traveled a ton. I spent more time on planes than at home. And a lot of it was fundraising for that as well. But people are so nice and so welcoming. I also have like a story for everywhere because my husband and I lived in Ohio. Our kids were born in Kentucky. We were in Maryland. My husband's from California. I was born in Texas. We went to school in Utah. So we have connections to lots of different states. So that helps when you're traveling the country.
Tell us about Patrick McDaniel.
So Patrick is my husband. He's the best person in my life. I love my kids, but my husband's the best. We've been married 26 years. We met in Washington, D.C. We were both working out there. He was working for a senator from Utah, and I was working in political consulting. And he's from California. And one of the stories he tells is when we were dating, I said to him, you're a Midwesterner, but you don't know it. And we've been living in Michigan for over 15 years, and he is truly a Midwesterner. I've turned him into a Michigan fan. But he's the best guy, and he's my best friend. And I saw a clip on Instagram the other day saying that companion love is so important. And he's the first person I want to talk to. He's the person I go to with everything. And I couldn't have done the RNC job, and our family couldn't have done so well through it without both of us working together and being a team.
We're talking to Ronna Romney McDaniel. And I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Ronna Romney McDaniel from 2017. To 2024, she was chair of the Republican National Committee, thereby becoming the second woman to ever hold the prestigious position and the longest one ever.
Right.
If you want to learn more, www.rnc.org. Ronna, what do you consider your biggest accomplishments as RNC chair?
Well, lots of things. The world changed when I came in as chair. Digital started coming in. The Republican Party had no small dollar fundraising operation. The Democrats had had one for about 15 years called Act Blue. And we really helped launch a platform called Win Red. We started pushing people to vote early, which was something that I was pushing before I left, which we did in droves.
On the south side of Chicago, we were taught vote early and vote often.
Okay. Yes, vote early. We were just the vote early part, but lots of things like that. And I think my favorite thing that we did was engaging communities that had been historically ignored by the Republican Party and building offices in Latino and Hispanic and Asian and African-American communities which we had up across the country, and we've seen a massive shift in engagement in those communities. And it didn't just happen. It was intentional engagement by our party and the RNC over those past 7 years in those communities that started to see a shift of those voters coming our way.
When you first heard the word COVID, you know, in about March, or when it really hit March of 2020, right, how did that change your job and life?
It changed everything. And I was with President Trump in Florida, and he had just visited the CDC, and he came into an event that we had in Mar-a-Lago with a red ball cap on. I'll never forget it. And the next week, everything shut down. In fact, he and I flew into an event in Orlando, and the next day canceled all the rallies that were going on. We were in an election year. But it changed everything for everyone. And it's not just political and my job. My kids were suddenly out of school and virtual learning. And we had family members getting sick. I got COVID very early on. So it was a scary time for our country. I think all of us can relate to where we were, what happened, and what it meant in our lives. And I still think we're recovering from COVID.
All right. What's it like? One day you had dinner at the White House with the Trump family, Barron, Melania, Donald. Then a day or two later, you're back here at a soccer game or going to a parent-teacher meeting. You're just a mom.
I'm always a mom. And we didn't move our family to Washington, D.C. for that reason. So back home, I was always Abby and Nash's mom. My husband, Patrick, was president of his company. I was in the community at church. And we didn't have our kids move to D.C. and have their whole lives be defined by political tribalism, which I think we can all agree has gotten pretty nasty. I didn't want that to be their life. And so when I was in D.C. or doing that job, it was one thing. But when I came home to Michigan, I was Mrs. McDaniel and Nash and Abby's mom. And it really helped keep my head on my shoulders and keep that balance in our lives. And I am glad that we never left Michigan, that we stayed here throughout that whole 7 years.
What were a few of the most difficult decisions you had to make in your role as RNC?
Oh, there were, I don't know if I want to talk about all of, there were a lot of difficult decisions during that time. What races to invest in, candidates to support, how much to put in. Tough staffing decisions at every level when you're running a billion-dollar operation. There's tough decisions throughout your time there. I think the hardest was times where sometimes I would call the president and disagree, and we would have a conversation. I would say, sir, have you considered this? I don't know if those were difficult decisions, but it was intimidating. And he was always receptive when I would call and say, can we have a conversation about something? And I'm concerned about this. But that was my job, or to share data. So those were difficult moments sometimes.
Okay. Speaking of which, Donald J. Trump, what's he like when he's just not in front of a camera?
So for me, he was always very kind and friendly. And I mean, we had tough calls too. But I remember one day, I've shared this story. He called me and said, do you have some time? Are you free right now for a little bit? And I said, sure, Mr. President. Of course I'm free. He's like, well, are you sure you don't have anything going on? I said, yes, I'm sure. He said, I just want to get to know you a little bit better. And he did your show with me. Tell me about your grandpa. Tell me about your mom. Tell me about your dad. Tell me how you grew up. And we probably spent 45 minutes on the phone with him just asking questions. And I remember one day I'd been flying so much. I mean, nonstop. And my back just went out. And, you know, sometimes that happens. And he called me and, are you okay? And do you need me to get you a doctor? Those are the types of things that people don't see that I wish they saw. But he really does care about the people around him.
Okay. He's almost 80.
Right.
He's eating McDonald's hamburgers, you know, et cetera. Everybody, whether they love him or hate him, they're amazed at his energy level. How?
There's nothing
like
it.
What does Melania feed the guy?
I don't know. He is nonstop. And he'll call you at 3 a.m. Are you up? Of course I'm up, Mr. President. I mean, he just does not stop. His mind's always going. He's playing golf. He's very social. He loves being around people. He feeds off of that all the time. So he's always talking. The TV's always on. There's always something going. But his energy is unparalleled. If we could bottle it and sell it, I think it would do very, very well on the market.
Don't give him another idea. All right. Give us two or three Donald Trump stories.
Oh, my goodness. I should have thought about that before I came here. I'll tell my one of my favorite stories. My son's name's Nash, after the Nash Rambler, because my grandpa worked at AMC or ran AMC.
He ran AMC.
So we named our
American
son
American Motors Corporation.
Nash. And when Nash first met President Trump, he goes up to him and he puts his hand out and he says, "Mr. President, you are a good-looking guy, just like me." And the president just loved it and pulled out some Tic Tacs and gave it to him. Like, those are the stories I remember. Going on Air Force One for the first time, any time. You never get sick of it. Going into the White House, the first time I went to the White House and went in the Oval Office, he actually said, "Can you just take a minute and look around? Have you been here?" And then he shows me everything. Really understood how exciting it was for people to be in those rooms. And it was always exciting. And Marine One, or being in the Beast and driving with him, very cool.
All right. The night you and Patrick went to the White House for a state dinner with the French President Macron, what was that like?
We were so excited to go to a state dinner, and everybody's in their finery, and the First Lady invites people from all different backgrounds. So there's Olympic gold medalists, there's renowned musicians, actors. Every walk of life is there. So it's a small room. It's intimate with singers and a band. I mean, just the best food. It's kind of like being a little like Cinderella type feeling, where you're in this magical setting and then meeting the president of France and his wife. They give you a special medal afterwards that you take home as a memory coin to commemorate the evening. And it was probably one of my favorite moments, and Patrick's too. It was one of our favorite moments during RNC.
We're talking to Ronna Romney McDaniel. When we come back, we're going to ask her about the First Lady, Melania Trump. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
Spohom. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula. We're with Ronna Romney McDaniel, the CEO of Michigan Forward Network. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. www.michiganforwardnetwork.com. Ronna, Melania, please.
She is a devoted mother and daughter and wife. Her parents were in D.C. the whole time with them, completely devoted to Barron. Never had a nanny.
In the White House. They lived in the White House.
I don't know if they lived in the White House, but they were there all the time. What I got to see of Melania was as the First Lady, she does all the Christmas parties and plans all of that. All of that is paid for by the RNC. Most people don't realize that. The taxpayers don't pay for these events. So it's fundraised and put into the party, and then the party pays for all the gifts that the president gives, all the little tchotchkes you get at the White House, and then all the parties. So in a lot of ways, we worked with Melania in her office more than anybody because she would send very detailed notes on every gift. We had prototypes. She was incredibly engaged. But she was also very kind to her staff and a devoted mom. And he called her every time I was with him. He called her and checked in with her. They were a very loving couple. I wish people saw more of that.
Hold on a minute. You told me this over lunch. You made the statement, Jack, they have one of the greatest marriages I've ever seen in my life. Really?
Well, I would say they have a great marriage. I really do. Anytime I saw him, he was calling her, asking her opinion. I just don't think she's as forward-facing. I don't think she wants to be out there in the public eye as much. She's protective. But they're very close. And he seeks her advice and counsel and respects that advice and counsel tremendously.
Speaking of respecting counsel, I believe that Barron, the son, told Dad, you got to go on Joe Rogan. What's Barron like?
I didn't see Barron that much. He was in school. I've had dinner with them a few times. But he is a very outgoing young man, very smart. All the kids, it's a close family.
6'9".
Yeah, very tall. all the kids, it's a very close-knit family. And they really have each other's back. They've been through a lot, too, whether you like them or don't like them. But they're there for each other. And I think Barron and Don Jr., really believed that podcasts and these reaching audiences through different mechanisms, and they understood the power of Joe Rogan and Theo Von and some of these other influencers that were out there. They were ahead of that and really pushed the president to get on those platforms.
When you were RNC chair, there was a young guy that nobody knew about, J.D. Vance.
Right.
And he was going to run for senator from Ohio, wrote a book, Hillbilly Eulogy. His story is unbelievable. Tell us about J.D. Vance.
So what's amazing about J.D. is I had been asked years earlier to give a book to a group of students that I was speaking to. Pick any book. It was kind of what they did with this speaker series. And the book I picked was Hillbilly Elegy. And I thought, this explains why Trump won. This book. At that time, I'd never met J.D. Vance. Then he ends up running for Senate in Ohio. So I spent a lot of time with him in 2022 as he ran for that Senate seat. He is really brilliant, completely devoted to his wife, Usha, family man, but really understands the Trump voter and a hard worker and a great senator. So when I was chair, he was elected to the Senate in Ohio. I did not at that time, I will say, think he was going to end up being the VP. I just didn't. So I think that was a surprise pick, but it's been a pick that works for both of them. And I think he did incredibly well in the debate.
Speaking of another pick, the current press secretary, Caroline Leavitt. She's unbelievable. She's 27. She's a mom. She's married to a 63-year-old guy. What impresses you the most about her?
So I spent a lot of time with Caroline because she was actually a congressional candidate in 2022. She'd received the nomination in New Hampshire. So I went with Kevin McCarthy and we campaigned with her. And she is as hardworking as they come. And it's fun to see her rise and people come up and ask about her. At that time, I didn't think she'd be press secretary either. I didn't know that that was going to be where she would end up, but she's done a great job.
Those 8 years, longest serving RNC chair, what's the biggest thing you learned?
I think keeping your balance and remembering your family is your core. I think with politicians, sometimes they get so embroiled in the power and the title and the trappings of the office that you lose sight of who you really are. And I think I went in so, you know, so balanced with being from Michigan, my amazing husband, our kids, that it allowed me to come back to that life. I vacationed in that life for a little while as RNC chair, but my real life was being a mom and a wife and being in this Michigan community. And I think that was very helpful, having those roots, leaving that office.
Speaking of being in the Michigan community,
right?
On May 29th of this year, you announced that you would be the CEO of Michigan Forward Network. What is it?
It is an organization that's going to focus on helping bring good policy to Michigan. I love this state, Jack. You love this state. I grew up here. My kids are here. But I also want my kids to get jobs here. I want our state to continue to grow. And so when I look at things like what Governor Snyder did and fiscal policy, good jobs, cutting regulation, good education, these are things I value. I think most Michiganders value that. So this organization is going to be involved in helping elect or put in place good policies and electing people who are going to enact those policies.
The DeVos family. Everybody knows the name. Tell us about the DeVos family.
So they're one supporter of this organization. There are many supporters of this organization, but they love Michigan. You know, they haven't left and said, let's go to a state that has no income tax or let's move away from Michigan. They have invested in this state because they care about it and they have family here. And I think that speaks volumes because in New York and other states, you see people fleeing to go to Florida or Texas or Tennessee where they can save a lot of money with no income tax. And many of the people who are supporting Michigan Forward are saying, we want Michigan to be the state that's the premier state for jobs, for a good family, for a good future. And that's what we want to see out of Michigan moving forward.
A lot of people say we want Romney McDonald to run for office, but that's not in the cards.
No, I'm not going to run for office.
So, okay, Rana, thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
And most importantly, the style, the manner, and the class with which you've always done it.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Small.
Amen. Good.